everybody, to another episode of the Unsung Gamers Podcast. I know it's been a while, but we are back. I am your host, Rico, aka Phantom Recon, and with me, as always, is El Tacoma, Elway, Jermaine, aka the man, the big man, muscle man, Jermaine Torres.
What's going on, man?
And returning with us once again, with us also is Butter Biscuits.
What's up, guys? I'm back, baby.
And unfortunately, my brother Nando will not be joining us. There's a storm going on over there where he's living at. Gotta take care of the kiddo. So hopefully everything's okay. I'm sure everything will be all right. It's just, you know, a little loud thunder over there. But I guess moving along, I know a lot has happened since our last episode. I know we talked about some stuff that we want to talk about. But I think we should jump right into the most recent thing that just occurred. And actually, you just reminded me, James. The return of X-Men 97. Do you want to? I'm assuming, did you get to watch the episode?
I did. I have a full review for both episodes.
Go ahead.
All right, cool. All right, so yeah, just to let you know, the only sucky thing about X-Men 97 right now is that we have to wait every Wednesday for an episode. It's not all on Disney Plus. The first two episodes debuted this past Wednesday. It is a fantastic series so far. I was a little worried on whether or not they were going to still be able to bring it, especially with a lot of the OG cast coming back, not sounding the same, obviously, in 27 years. but it takes a little while to get used to the old voices to kind of settle them in, because we've had different voices for Rogue and Wolverine and all these over the years. Excuse me. But yeah, as soon as the damn show starts, they go straight for the nostalgia chord. They go with the original opening. The original theme song is back. Just with some extra characters added in there. But going into the whole plot of the series, it takes place a year after Graduation Day, which is the last episode of the X-Men series in the 90s. With Xavier going off to space. He's presumed dead. And it's like, what do the X-Men... where do the X-Men go from here? Not to give too much away, if you haven't seen it yet, just to kind of catch everybody up. Jean and Cyclops are expecting, and they're deciding whether or not to stay with the team or not. There's a lot. They set up a lot of cool story points for these first 10 episodes of season one. They're really setting up the drama here. Magneto plays a big feature in the second episode, which is huge. The dialogue in the series is fantastic. They really nail the dialogue. It really happened. I gotta say, they even tell a better story than the original predecessor, and which is really funny to say, because season one had a really good story as far as for like the first season of X-Men. So far, these two episodes have knocked it out of the park. I cannot wait, especially the cliffhanger of episode two, which you guys are going to like. If you guys follow the comics in any way or know anything about the comics, it's definitely setting up something interesting there. I cannot wait for episode three. So far, knocking it out of the park right now with these two episodes. I'm going to say both episodes right now are getting about a 9 in my book, a 9 out of 10. Great story, great pacing. The animation takes a little bit to get used to because it's not the slow hand-drawn animation. It's a faster, fluid animation. So it takes a little. So your mind's trying to think of the 90s series, but it's with modern animation, and it is fantastic. Everybody nails a great performance. You will find your favorite X-Men. You might even like a couple of new of the X-Men that are introduced. So yeah, great series. Check it out on Disney Plus. New episodes drop every Wednesday.
Are they what, 30 minutes long or an hour long episodes?
Yes, they're 30 minute episodes. So like I said, it's two episode premiere. So you get a full hour's worth of X-Men. Like I said, it sets up a huge. Huge dynamic change. It's going to be fantastic. You guys will enjoy.
I guess, did it remind you of any nostalgia or anything?
Oh, God, yes. They make Cyclops extremely likable, which he always is. He's a good leader. I don't care what anyone says. The people can hate Cyclops all he wants. He has a reason to be a dick. But the series really revitalizes him as a leader of this team, and he has some pretty cool badass moments. Like literally the first like 5 minutes kicks off, lets you know how the action is going to be in the series.
Oh, nice. I guess with this starting now, so I guess it was a 2-episode premiere.
Mm-hmm.
This past Wednesday. Okay, cool. And then how many episodes are they going to be this season? 10?
Yes, it'll be 10 episodes. There's already a season 2 greenlit. Season 3 is just waiting on a green light, which, judging from the response of the first 2 episodes, more likely we will get a season 3, and I think that's probably going to be it. Disney has a bad habit of sticking with a 52-episode rule. So if it hits 52 episodes, it's probably not going to go any further than that. But still, it's great to see our favorite 90s mutants back with their traditional designs and everything like that from the 90s, telling a great story. So it really is a fun ride so far.
Well, that is good to hear. I mean, I remember watching it back in the 90s along with Spider-Man, the animated series as well. And I do remember that and the nostalgia I got from it. And I was rewatching episodes too. And my buddy of mine, John, he actually told me that if we watched it, or if I had watched it, I was like, I haven't got a chance to it, but I definitely need to check it out because I am also a fan of X-Men. It's one of the comics I collected early on along with Spider-Man. So, I mean, you make it sound like it's worth it to get to watch. God. So I definitely want to check it out.
Yes, absolutely. Like I said, a lot of the actors from the original series have reprised their roles. Obviously, there's some new voices voicing some of the talent. Of course, like Rad Spencer could not come back because he passed away a few years ago. He was the original voice of Cyclops. His replacement, I can't think of his name off the top of my head. He nails it. I sometimes forget that's not the original voice of Cyclops. Cal Dodd, the voice of Wolverine, the original voice of Wolverine, it takes a little bit to hear. He's obviously a lot older. He's in his 60s now, so his voice has definitely changed since the old days. But yeah. He does eventually get his footing. You can tell he gets his footing, and it works with his voice now. And it honestly works for Wolverine in certain spaces. Like there's a funny scene. It's just a really kind of funny scene, like where he's just being a badass. He's talking to one of the new X-Men in the danger room, and like he has him pinned down. He turns off the simulator because the kid's not taking it seriously, and he turns on the program and says, "Is that real enough for you, bub?" And it is a really well deserved line. It's like yeah, that's Wolverine. He got it.
Nice. Jermaine, did you ever watch the old 90s X-Men animated series?
Yeah, I watched them. There's actually, I don't know if anybody knows, but there's a little over 3-hour video on YouTube. I can't remember what it's called, but it literally explains like the whole original series in like just over 3 hours.
Jesus. Disney released a previously on X-Men thing, and it was with the original voice, the previously on X-Men. And it kind of got you caught up with some of the, not all of the storylines, obviously, but some of the best, some of the major ones to kind of get you in the mindset for season one. So just the ones they highlighted, I'm wondering if they're all going to play off in these next 10 episodes. I know for sure we're definitely going to see Mr. Sinister because he was definitely billed as one of the main villains of the series when they were introducing it. So yeah, it's gonna be a fun thrill ride.
Nice. And that's pretty good to know too, Jermaine. That YouTube video kind of give you like a 3-hour thing, which actually reminds me. Like I did watch a YouTube video. I guess like it's a cinematic CGI, basically movie of the entire Suicide Squad. Because that I'm never going to play that game, but I just want to check it out. I don't know much about it, but I watched it. And in short, we can talk about this later, but in short, I can see why it didn't succeed and maybe people didn't like it. But I however, I do think it was could be a pretty good story. I think, but I mean, again, we can talk about that later. But yeah, YouTube definitely has a
Yeah,
bunch
I definitely
of
think about that.
good videos out there that can definitely like shorten or summarize long stories like X-Men or in my case Suicide Squad. But yeah, so I guess every Wednesday, I'm assuming like a 7, I'm assuming the new release of the new episode.
Depending on what time zone you're on, I know where I'm in here in Colorado. It was up at 3 a.m. my time. So yeah, it'll just be up when it's up in your area. You can definitely try to look it up on Disney Plus or just Google it. But I know, like I said, in Colorado in Mountain Time, it was up at 3 a.m.
Okay, cool. Well, then I guess for sure every Wednesday then. Every Wednesday, I guess by the time you wake up, I guess for folks out there that have
Yeah.
Disney, for sure.
So you gotta have some breakfast, watch some X-Men before you go to work or school or wherever you're going to go to, and like the old days.
Yeah, well, I guess speaking of the old days, one thing that I do recall, I guess in the gaming world, is this company, or I guess they're a company now, but I didn't know they're a company. But I always knew of this or heard of this team called FaZe. And it wasn't until recently Jermaine told me that they got bought out. And I was surprised by that. Jermaine, can you talk to us more about that or what you know from that?
So as far as I know, they were bought out, and one of the original members is actually the CEO or whatever of the company.
Yeah.
And from the stuff that I've seen, I think he pretty much let almost, let's say, from what I've seen, I said over 90% of the players go. Like, they're no longer in the clan anymore. And like a lot of these guys, that's what they worked for, just like since they were kids. They worked and busted their ass playing video games, trying to make a name for themselves just to be in that clan. And but yeah, I think it's over 90% of them are pretty much gone. They're like no longer in it.
You
So
said phase, right? Like, is that the
yeah.
Call of Duty clan?
Yeah, the Call of Duty
Oh my
ones,
God.
they're
Jesus.
yeah, there's a few of them put out videos, saying how they feel and stuff like that, which kind of sucks, man, because I mean, you imagine just busting your ass trying to get as good as you are, and then somebody buys it out, and then hey, you're no longer in it.
And I know when you told me that, I was like, man, like, who'd they get bought from? And I thought it was some other big company. I actually thought it was Blackstone. Blackstone's buying everybody. But no, it turned out that, well, I mean, I guess in a way, they kind of are pretty close to them. But it turns out it was the Jerry Jones Company. They're called Gaming. Man, I don't remember the name.
Game Square.
There it is. Yeah, there, GameSquare. And like, Jerry Jones happens to be an owner of it. And I was just telling Jermaine, I guess Jerry Jones wants a piece of the action in the gaming the industry. He
Wait,
has a
Dallas,
big.
the owner of the Dallas Cowboys has a gaming team?
Yeah,
Oh, good
he
Lord.
owns, yeah, now he does, and he owns one of the biggest ones. And this definitely interested me because, like, it was business, and I was like, well, why did they buy him? And from what I've been reading, it sounded like the FaZe company before they got bought out, they're having a really big issue on spending. Like, they're just spending a lot more money than what they're making, and they just were getting to a point where they didn't have any more money, so they had to sell. Which sucks. I'm pretty sure they brought in more people. They had to sell people to bring the best players to come to play with them, but a lot of that was costing, and the people they invested in to kind of bring more money in wasn't really working out, probably. But yeah, I mean, I was super interested in that, but that's more of the business side of it. But I mean, long story short, I think the company is still going to give keep the people, the main people that were part of the FaZe company, in executive positions to kind of, keep that gaming side of it, but also bring in the business side of it too, to kind of bring that FaZe brand back up again, because apparently they're not as well known anymore. However, they do have a huge social media following. I think they have like at least for sure millions of followers. I mean, I don't know much about them. I just know that they're a big deal. I always hear about them in tournaments and stuff. So I guess it's surprising that they got bought out, and I mean that they might be coming back, especially with the business company backed by Jerry Jones.
Yeah, that's the crazy part. I didn't even know Jerry Jones was involved in it until you told me about it, and I started looking into that. And it's just crazy. But, yeah, for their social media, it says Face Clan has 500 million followers.
Let's see. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's across all platforms, 500 million.
Okay, then that means what we need to do, effective immediately, is the gamers get started our own plan. And we're going to invite FaZe, and we're going to bring you guys in, those you former FaZe members, so you don't lose your skills to work with us for free and help us get to the top of the Fortnite, Warzone, whatever. Charts, and we'll start making that money then, okay?
Yeah, or just have Jerry Jones buy us too. Yes.
I don't know if I could sell it to Jerry Jones, man. I don't know. I'm conflicted. Depends on how many zeros are on that check.
I mean, well, Jerry Jones worth a lot of money, so I mean, he could probably throw some good amount of zeros there. Well, so speaking of I guess very popular people, Jerry Jones being one of them, FaZe being one of them. I mean, the biggest name out there right now, especially in the gaming world, happens to be a game that we talked about not too long ago, and that is Helldivers 2. This game has been coming up on a come up recently. I know we talked about it when it first came out. We were hyping it up, and the hype is real. after what, 3-4, maybe a month now, that the game's been released, and that's nothing what everybody talks about. I see it on my social media page. I see it.
That game is all over my TikTok. That is like all over my TikTok.
Yeah, yeah, like, I know it's everywhere. Everyone's making like their own videos and their own cartoons, their own shorts about it. But everybody's just speculating about what's gonna be the next thing, what's gonna be the next major order. And man, it's been an incredible game, and again, I have to say this, for $40, this game is definitely worth it.
It's 40 versus bucks.
Versus a $70 nice game with the 5-hour campaign, Call of Duty. Nice. So man, it's definitely worth it. I know in the middle we just got an update recently on Helldivers, and they've now added flying bugs now, which are called shriekers, which, if you don't know, they are a one-hit kill that can kill you. Like, they touch you, if they die and they're falling at you and they touch you, you're dead. I mean, and then I even had a shield on me, and the shield pack, and I had the shield on me, and it still hit me and it still killed me. I was surprised by that. I thought at least the shield would have like deflected it the first one, and if I could hit it a second time, then I would die. But no, it's like an instant kill. It doesn't matter. So,
I'll tell you what, man. That is one game that I can say that I know a lot of Xbox players are hoping we'll get a release on Xbox. Because I've not seen a game unite a community across Halo players, Destiny players, a bunch of other players, unite these people getting excited for this game, wanting to help out their PlayStation brethren and their PC brethren. Like the videos I see all the time, it's like these message broadcasts. It's awesome. It's like we are the ODSTs. We have fought the Covenant. We fought the Flood. And we want to slay bugs and spill oil with you guys, with our brothers. I love that is a type of video game experience I've been waiting for, to unite everybody together, to get somebody to screw the console wars. Let's play something together that's fun and bring a huge community together. And it's a community because from what I know of the game, you are working together to strave off an actual threat to Earth, and the galaxy. It's like, that is awesome. That is an awesome premise. It's an awesome plot. And the community feels it when they lose a sector of the galaxy. And you're like, because I remember it was a couple weeks ago, there was a big section of space lost, like something falls, or like Zephyr falls or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the community was like, man, we gotta take it back. We gotta take it back. I'm like, my God, it's just a section of space. Like, you have to take this way too. And then I looked at the game, I'm like, oh, I see why it's so important. I'm like, Man, that's really close. So yeah, it's definitely a game I'm excited about. I can't buy anything right now, so I'm kind of on a buying freeze right now. But I definitely would love to get it in my hands on that game and play with y'all. It is definitely a game that I would recommend to anybody right now. And I wish it was available on a lot of other platforms so other people can play in. But hey, it is what it is. PlayStation has a really good hold on this game. It's definitely something I recommend for anybody.
Yeah, and I can speak that when you're playing, especially with me, because like I'm really playing it a lot more than I was expecting. Where like I don't wait for my family to jump on, my friends to jump on. I just jump on and start playing with random people, and you know sometimes I play with people who actually communicate and use their headset. That's great. Sometimes I play with people who don't communicate at all, and I'm in their game. And I'm trying to communicate with them to like, what do you want to do? Do you want to get the objectives? Do you want to get the main thing? Do you want to get everything else? There's no communication. So I just kind of go on my own and kind of try to take care of everything. But now it's definitely a great game. And yeah, like you said, James, like it's definitely one that brings the community together. It's definitely something that I hope maybe the Xbox will get a portion of it as well. So y'all can join in on the fight. I do love that the major orders, that's what it's called, that get sent out, whether you get it in social media, if you follow them, or your friends will tell you what the new orders are. And basically, you have a time limit to kind of tick over a certain sector. And if you do, you get prizes. If you don't, then you'll get the news that we didn't get it or we failed. And that affects the story. According to the developers, like they have these story plots already written out based on how the community does in the game. So if you complete a major order, then they go this route on the story. If you fail it, we go this route on the story. So it's not like all like set in stone story. It just all depends on how the community goes about it, and I think that's really cool, and it's a really good approach on video games. And I guess you talking about Halo, that reminds me that because we do live in a capitalist country, that you know, eventually, all these other publishing companies, the major ones, Microsoft, I guess it would be Microsoft and other developers are looking at this and like, man, what game can we apply this to? Because, I mean, Halo can do the same thing. I mean, they can get their chiefs and fight the Covenant and have something very similar to that. And then, boom, you got your own little Helldivers community action going. And then you can include that with PC. I mean, there's other... Exactly. Others that can apply the same ideology to their platforms. Just Helldivers just really perfected it. And I do want to add, it's not just the gaming, but the composition, the music that's chosen for it. It's really good. Like I'm always like humming it or singing it after a win, because you recognize the theme song to it. It's really cool. And then the story is even crazier, because you know it's obviously based off of the movie Starship Troopers, and I hope that the main character, I forgot his name, but the guy who played Johnny Rico was supposedly in talks that he might make a cameo appearance in the game.
Well, right, so he's playing it. He's definitely playing it. It's like Jose sent me a text message apparently on his ex social media. Let's just call it Twitter. I can't call it X. It just sounds weird. But on his Twitter, he confirmed he's playing it right now. And he's really liking it too. It's like, that's taking up most of his time. I'm like, oh wait, you tell me Johnny Rico from Starship Troopers is playing Helldivers 2. If I didn't want the game already, I want it now. And I never go by a celebrity endorsement, but if Casper freaking Van Dien is playing this game right now, I want to join Johnny Rico's squad.
yeah, it's definitely cool. And again, it has a lot of ups in it. But I also know, like, you know, I'm sure Microsoft and one of these other companies are trying to come up with a game that they can apply the same concept to one of their games. Because I mean, it's working.
Well, right now the only game that's coming that I can tell you that's going to be joining a whole community of other gamers is coming out next month on April 30th. Coming to PS5 is going to be the Xbox exclusive, but Sea of Thieves is coming, and It is number. It's so far. Last time I checked, it was number one on the pre-order list, which is funny. It was number one on the pre-order list for a PlayStation Store for it coming. And in fact, Rare just put out a video the other day regarding what's coming up in their next couple seasons of seasons 12, 13, and 14, which is going to make the game even more accessible to everybody, as well as bringing in new weapons and traversal equipment, all this type of stuff. And it's going to be really fun for everybody. I know Xbox players are really excited to bring in some fresh blood to the seas. So I know that's a game I definitely play. Plus, you can buy your own ship now, so it's really cool. And so I'm excited to kind of get this whole new wave of players in the next few weeks. It's going to be really fun for everybody. I can't wait to steal some treasure from people and whatnot. It's going to be fun.
Oh, cool. I've heard of that game. I think my cousin played it. It does look cool, yeah, but I think it's only on Xbox, though, right?
For now, it's April 30th, and it's going to verbatim now. But April 30th, it'll have a full-fledged release. $40 is going to be the beginning tier. Of course, there's other tiers that it gives you, like, in-game items that you can use for cosmetics.
Oh, okay. Cool. Oh, I mean, I guess there's that game, but I mean, I guess like with Helldivers, it's just like I've never heard of it. Well, Sea of Thieves, I've heard of them. It could be the same thing where like maybe when it comes out, it'll be a fantastic game. But yeah, I mean, if you don't have Helldivers, Jermaine, I know you don't, but yeah, I don't think you have it. Or have you played it yet? Or gone to a friend's house and tried it?
No, I haven't even tried to play it. I mean, a lot of people have been telling me, and I think it's gotten where I even get notifications on YouTube about Dr. Disrespect playing it now.
Oh, wow. Dang.
Yeah. So I still haven't played it, man. I haven't. I've been messing with these other games I've been playing with. So, kind of. I don't try to beat a couple of games I download from the Game Pass before I probably end up buying that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat, too. The last game I bought was WWE 2K24, which I saw we did a small little preview of it on the website this past week.
Okay. Well, I didn't know much about Helldivers 2, because I didn't know there was a Helldivers 1. My buddy John told me that he played it a long time ago, and that it was from a different perspective, like a bird's eye view type of thing, an overhead type of game, and that when he heard this part 2 was gonna come out, he wasn't expecting to buy it, but he bought it because a lot of people were playing it. I got it just because I don't remember why I bought it. I just remember it was $40. Like, you know what, why not? And I tried it, man, and my brother Nando happened to just buy it too, and I mean, I've been hooked ever since. It's been great, and I was curious about what the story was about, because you really don't get told that much about the story when you first play it, so I kind of read up more and more upon it. And so apparently in Helldivers 1, they were in a war, and Helldivers 2 takes place 100 years after Helldivers 1. So in Helldivers 1, you're basically in the same thing, a war, with three enemies, the Bugs, Cyborgs, and the Illuminate. And but basically the secret is that these three enemies of Super Earth, Helldivers, or they're peaceful people. Like they want no issue. It's just the people of Super Earth wanted to explore the space, and I think it's the Illuminate that had the technology to basically space travel. And so they went over there, they defeated them, they took it, and now that's why they're able to, you know, explore so far in Helldivers 2. And then the Bugs, they're peaceful too, but the people of Super Earth were, you know, just afraid of the Bugs kind of like just taking over. And so they just went over there just to kill them, because they just didn't want them to be around. And then instead of just eradicating them completely, because I mean, they're just Bugs, they kept them because the Bugs, after the bodies deteriorate, it becomes rich oil that was a, you know, prime resource for Super Earth. So Super Earth, instead of like, you know, completely eradicating the Bugs, they capture them, basically enslave them and farm them. So they basically are farming these bugs and then, you know, killing them to produce the oil. And then the cyborgs, I forget what the cyborgs' story was, but I know they're like half human, half robot beings, and like they're just trying to be their own thing. But I think Super Earth was like, no, you can't be like that. And so they're basically like, no, that can't exist. So they went over there and, you know, kind of destroy them. So then that's, they beat them. They Super Earth wins. They beat all three of them. 100 years later, the bugs escape from their farms, and now they are invading the other planets. And that's why we're fighting them now in Helldivers 2. The automatons, there's not much about them. They're just there. I think they're there because I think Super Earth had found them, and they just wanted to basically conquer them. And automatons basically are like, they don't even want to fight. Like, let's just end this right now. We don't even have to fight. But no, the Helldivers story is, no, they're still going to go over there and, you know, and destroy them. And obviously, you know, you as the gamer are being told, these are your enemies. You got to go destroy them. And so, you know, that's kind of the story that's given to us. And obviously, if you don't read up on it, you know, you won't know what the truth is. And yeah, the bugs are just trying to fight for their freedom. The automatons, again, I don't know much about them. And then supposedly, there might be a return of one or two of the first enemies. So I don't know. That's why the storyline all just all depends on how well we do. Apparently, this last major mission that we did affected the bugs now. So that's why we have flying bugs now, because we succeeded completing it, but because we did that, it affected the biology of the bugs. So, but yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know, the story that they have is pretty cool. It's really intriguing. And yeah, I just want to learn more about it and more about this, the automatons, because there's a rumor that the automatons are another race that supports, I think, the cyborgs or the Illuminate, and that it's just like a premonition that one of those enemies are going to be coming back to help the automatons. And that's what I got so far about it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that actually sounds pretty interesting. Sounds like, you know, like a series. Like y'all are basically playing a TV series or something. You know, every time y'all go, it's kind of like an episode or something.
Yeah, it's basically what it is. Because, like I said, like they already have the stories written out. Like, you know, there's option A, B, C, D. But depending on how well we do, you know, and you know, if we do really good, okay, you're going with C. But if it's like, oh, you did okay, you still passed, well, we're going to go with option D. Or you failed, you know, you want to go option B. Or you failed completely miserable, yeah, sucked, we're going to option A. Like, I don't know, there's these different stories. And then on top of that, apparently there's a game master. His name's Joel, who happens to just, you know, randomly just check on the video games to, you know, like I could be playing and we're dominating, and then Joe could wake up and, you know, check my server and see our game that we're dominating. All of a sudden you see a bunch of like giant Titan bugs that jump in, or we don't have enough ammo or something. It's because Joe is just trying to either even the odds for the either the enemies or sometimes he'll help you out. Like, oh, he sees you're struggling. Oh, here, we're gonna drop some more ammo or something. Like it's like a Dungeons and Dragons kind of thing. And there's a legit guy named Joel who's watching it, and he would intervene in your game. And sometimes when we're playing, it does feel like that, because sometimes things are going really well, and then all of a sudden, all of these monsters come up out of nowhere. It's harder to kill them. Or sometimes we're really struggling. All of a sudden, we get help from out of nowhere. Like, I don't know where it came from. And I'm thinking, like, did you throw that bomb? Like, no, that wasn't me. Then who was it? Like, it's crazy. It's pretty cool. It's, again, the concept, their approach to this gaming, to the gaming community, is really genuine and, I don't know, one of a kind. It is definitely transcendent. Like, we're going to remember and look back at this year, how Helldivers kind of changed the gaming moving forward. You know, we had, you know, GoldenEye, we had Halo, we had Call of Duty, we had Battle Royale. And now we have this Helldiver type of concept. So it's definitely a transcendent time in gaming. And Helldiver is just like the first one to do it. and especially for the price. I mean, I got to reiterate that $40, an amazing price. Thank you for that. Also, you should try it, Jermaine. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, mate. I want to beat these two games first that I downloaded. They seem pretty interesting over here on the Game Pass. But I'm actually looking into that because I don't know if my son gave it to me or he let me borrow it, but he brought me a VR set from Florida when he came to visit a few weeks ago, and it's actually pretty fun. And I've been thinking about actually investing a little money into it to buy some games, but I'm also kind of like, hey, I kind of do want to play the Helldivers because I've heard a lot of positive things about it. So, you know, right now I also got that little issue going on right now.
I do see the issue there. I mean, VR is awesome.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, like the first day, y'all going to laugh, but the first day I played it, you know, I was playing it sitting down because I had it set to where I'm at, I don't have a lot of room. So I set it to a small circle. I was playing the game Propagation, something like that. But you're basically just standing still, but you can, you know, rotate in circles and the headset moves everywhere. So you're like in a 3D environment. And had a zombie. Well, you know, I'm vindicated to swing and hit the zombie off of me. So I swing. It's like, you know, kind of tells you to swing a little harder. Swing harder. And I hit my gun safe and I didn't drop the controller, but I let it go. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to play this right now.
Oh man, I have a similar story. When I first played, I think it was Pavlov. I think my cousin Tonio, he has it, and he said that there's a zombie game. And I was like, cool. And I remember he warned me, hey, there's gonna be a part maybe where the zombies are just gonna overwhelm you. And when they do, don't get scared because you know it's VR. You know, it kind of seems like very realistic. You know, just kind of stand there and you know it's over. And so I remember like, oh, okay. And then like, I remember like, you know, I'm in the VR game. Yeah. I'm moving like 360s all around my circle too. And I'm shooting and then all of a sudden, you know, I basically run out of ammo. Like I forget that to reload the clip, you actually have to reload. I mean, at the clip, the magazine, you have to actually reload the magazine. And then like, yeah, I start to get overwhelmed by the zombies. And I remember my cousin saying that, you know, you just basically stand there and just take it. But like my initial reaction was just swinging, and then now I'm swinging, and I'm actually hitting the zombies. Like I didn't know that. Neither did my cousin. He didn't know that. And so now that gave me a fighting chance, literally. And so I'm over there fighting them, and I'm swinging it at the zombies. But my cousin tells me to stop because I'm in a small room, and I'm getting pretty close to hitting the wall, and I'm swinging like full haymakers. But it was just my initial reaction, you know, I guess that what's called fight or flight type of thing. And, as I stopped and yeah, I did get overwhelmed with the zombies and I took out the VR and I was like really close to the wall.
Oh, so, man.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
No, I mean, it's a fun thing to have, man. There's a game I wanted to play called Shattered Light. But I don't know, there's an issue with it right now where it's not turning on anybody's headset for some reason. But basically, you can, like, if you go to your living room and you move everything out the way, you can make your own area. And it takes that area and puts the information into the game, and it walks you around. But the thing is, it walks you around so much that it actually helps you avoid the walls. So you won't run into a wall or a couch or anything.
That's cool.
But I don't know what's going on with the game. I couldn't ever get it to start on mine. I looked it up, and I'm not the only one. There's like, man, 20, 30 people that posted on there said they were having the same issue.
Dang, no, but VR is definitely cool. I mean, like, now that you brought it up, I mean, that is something that I do want to get later on because I did enjoy it. And also, I mean, it's a workout, you know, I mean, because, like, you're not just sitting there on a couch or, you know, maybe even just standing in one spot, you know, with the controller, like with the VR, you're physically moving. Yeah. And I remember playing, I forgot what game it was, but it's a game my cousin has. It's a shooting game where you basically have to dodge bullets that come at you, you know, moving left, right. You even have to squat down. Like, and I remember at the end of every level, I'm like, okay, I need a break. Because you're moving so much. But I really like it. I really like it.
Yeah, so that's one of the little issues I got. You know, I'm like, do I want to spend money and get me a game? Because literally the games are, you know, Helldivers, $40. You know, VR games, $19, $20 to $40, depending on what game you get and stuff like that. So it's like, man, you got all kinds of good options on both sides.
Yeah.
Exactly. You also have to weigh in. Yeah, it's like, yeah, the base price is $70. But if you want to get all the stuff that's, you know, the season passes and everything, you want to get the edition that has all of it was $100, or, you know, it's like,
that's another issue.
What I did with my WWE game. Yeah, it's like, do I just go ahead and just pay the extra money and get the thing that has the season pass and all that stuff with it? Yeah, so I did that. So that was the last game I've bought so far.
Then, with that said, you know, we're just going to end it really quickly. And again, thank you everybody for joining. We'll be back again next week. And again, I appreciate y'all on the patience. I know we've been gone for a while, but we'll hopefully come back and keep it more consistent. But again, I am Phantom Recon. With me is Buttered Biscuits.
What's up?
And Jermaine El Tacoma.
Hey.
Thank you all for joining us, and we are the Unsung Gamers, saving the world one game at a time. Bye.